How much do you own? Is it less than you used to? Owning less is actually a dream for many people. And with internet services like Uber and DoorDash, and trends like bike sharing and co-working spaces, that dream is closer than ever. These days, you can get more done without having to own as much. But there's a dark side to this vision, according to Carol Roth, author of the New York Times bestseller, You Will Own Nothing: Your War with the New Financial World Order and How to Fight Back. Carol is an entrepreneur and a former investment banker, and she joins us now to share five of her key insights.
Hi, this is Carol Roth. I am a recovering investment banker, an entrepreneur, and author of two New York Times bestselling books, including my latest, You Will Own Nothing: Your War with a New Financial World Order and How to Fight Back. I also have an action figure made in my likeness, but that's a story for another day. Today I'm going to share with you five key and somewhat controversial insights from You Will Own Nothing. Number one, you may own nothing, but you won't be happy. When I first heard the prediction, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy, in a video from the World Economic Forum, a group littered with the political and business elite, I thought it must have been out of context. How could a group affiliated with such savvy and well-connected people be predicting the end of private property? By 2030, nonetheless. But I found the video, and yes, there it was in the open, and consistent with several other pieces they had put out over the years. Then I became concerned. As someone who has advocated for and helped people with wealth creation opportunities for more than a quarter century, I know one thing to be true. Wealth comes from ownership. That is an undisputable truth. More concretely, wealth comes from the ownership of assets that increase in value over time. Asset ownership provides the ability for people to increase their wealth exponentially by several multiples of the original investment. This is something that working and earning alone cannot do. So the idea that you will own nothing translates to me as a massive barrier to individual wealth creation. Not to mention that the people throughout history who haven't owned property have found themselves unfree, unhappy, and worse. Also, note the language of the prediction. It's you'll own nothing, not will own nothing. Clearly, the group putting out the prediction imagines a different set of outcomes for themselves. And the you'll be happy part tries to get you to buy into the idea that fewer wealth creation opportunities will give you a free and relaxing lifestyle. If those seeking to retain wealth and power, as the global financial stakes shift, can get you to buy into that notion, well, it's much easier for them than having to force it upon you. Which brings us to number two. A new world order is not a conspiracy theory. What could sound more like a conspiracy than the discussion of a new financial world order? But it's really a function of history repeating, well, at least rhyming. The U.S. has been at the center of the global financial universe for about 80 years now, holding the world's reserve currency. But before the U.S. held that position, it was the British, and it was the Dutch before them. People who study history know that the financial order changes on a regular basis. Even the current president of the United States knows this. He's said as much. You can type it into any search engine or even look on the White House's website and you will find this excerpt from President Biden's speech to the Business Roundtable on March 21st, 2022. He said, quote, "You know, we are at an inflection point, I believe, in the world economy. Not just the world economy, in the world. It occurs every three or four generations." He then continued, quote, "And now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it." The president mentioned the cycles the book explores, He mentioned the economy and that it plays a role in this change, and he acknowledged that things are shifting. With a giant debt load and the unsustainable financial trajectory of the United States, the Fed and government derelict in their duty to maintain the stability of the world's reserve currency, and the weaponization of the U.S. dollar, most recently when Russia's access to its reserves were frozen by the administration after Russia invaded Ukraine, there are a lot of signposts that we are on the precipice of a new financial world order. In fact, the number two prediction from the aforementioned World Economic Forum's video behind You'll Own Nothing was that the U.S. will no longer be the world's leading superpower. The shifting of financial stakes creates the foundational thesis of the book. If you're wealthy and powerful, do you just sit back and hope things work out for you as global financial stakes change? Or do you work hard to make sure they do work out for you and your cronies and preserve your wealth and power? Well, that's basic human nature. Number three, Wall Street is trying to rent you the American dream. One of the most staggering pieces of research from the book relates to a shocking trend. Wall Street corporations competing with individuals for single-family homes and trying to rent the American dream back to them. A home is the illustrative symbol of the American dream, and that is for good reason. Across households, the home is the largest asset by dollar value on households' balance sheets. Owning a home is a way that Americans build wealth for themselves and their families. Now, during the Great Recession financial crisis, while both individuals and financial institutions took on too much risk vis-a-vis housing, their outcomes were starkly different. Individuals lost almost 6 million homes to foreclosures and short sales, while financial institutions received bailouts. Then, cheap capital from the Fed's easy money policies enabled corporations to do something that they had never done before in history: compete with you for a home. This is a market that did not exist prior to 2010. But as of last year, around one in every five homes sold in the U.S. was sold to a corporate investor. These investors aren't looking to flip the homes. They want to rent you back the American dream, enriching themselves, with young people and other would-be homebuyers paying the price. This has substantial implications for wealth creation. It's taking away the biggest wealth creation mechanisms for families and transferring that wealth from Main Street to Wall Street. Imagine for a moment in America without broad individual homeownership. That America would be one with further exacerbated non-merit-based inequality. NGOs like the World Economic Forum, which predicted, as we mentioned, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy, and publicly traded corporations buying up tens of thousands of single-family homes, pretend that moving away from ownership is for your convenience and happiness. But the carefree life of not having the ability to generate legacy wealth hasn't worked out too well for people throughout history. Non-ownership of single-family homes also has material and concerning implications for freedom. Non-ownership means that more Americans' lives are dictated by the cooperation and coercion of corporate and government forces. Meanwhile, the wealthiest are buying up more hard assets. We know the rich and well-connected will continue to own housing assets and collect the wealth driven by both rents and the price appreciation on those houses. That's why the prediction is you'll own nothing and not will own nothing. Number four, a wealth tax will kill the middle class and younger generations. Speaking of the middle and working class, one bright spot for younger generations is that there is nearly $85 trillion in assets set to be voluntarily passed down over the next couple of decades via inheritances. However, that's a lot of money potentially at risk. The U.S. has recently seen its second credit downgrade. The public debt has surpassed the GDP. There was, at the end of 2021, more than $129 trillion in unfunded liabilities. Think government promises. Even the Treasury and the CBO have said we are on an unsustainable financial trajectory. Which means that the almost $85 trillion in wealth set to be transferred, as well as the rest of individuals' wealth, looks really appealing to the government. We have heard recent calls for wealth taxes. The mantra, "we're going after billionaires and the ultra-wealthy," is a trick that they use to get you to give up your principles. Because once you do, they can come after you. Just like they aren't trying to hire 80,000 plus IRS agents to go after 800 or so billionaires, they aren't looking to add wealth taxes and expand estate taxes to come after the ultra wealthy. The wealthy are the friends and financial supporters of those making the laws. They can afford fancy lawyers and accountants to find loopholes. The middle class, which holds a substantial portion of that wealth today, doesn't have those advocates and service providers. Here's what's at stake if they put in place wealth taxes or taxes on, quote, unrealized capital gains. Imagine that your parents bought a house in the 1970s for $100,000. Today, you look on Zillow and it estimates it's worth $2 million. Well, that would mean they would owe taxes on the difference, $1.9 million. Well, how could they pay for that? They would have to probably sell the house to be able to do so. Now imagine that for businesses, stocks, farms, art, and more. This would be a devastating outcome that would upend American prosperity as we know it. Be aware of calls for both wealth taxes and rules aimed at just one group of people, because eventually that can be used to come after your money and your legacy wealth. And number five, you can fight back. There is so much covered in You Will Own Nothing, whether it's the shifting of the global financial order, the emergence of social credit and ESG, the debasement of the currency, the potential for central bank digital currencies, CBDCs, Wall Street competing with you to purchase a home, tax attempts to rent your life back to you as a subscription or a service, the transfer of wealth from young people to colleges and their administrators, and more. It can seem overwhelming and even a little depressing. But take it in stride and fight back. We might not be able to prevent history from rhyming and the global financial order from changing, but we may be able to delay it for several generations by pushing fiscal responsibility broadly and individually. As an individual, the book has behavior shifts related to all of these different areas. But here are a few macro points to take away. One, do what they do, not what they say. The same elite who are affiliated with the predictors of you'll own nothing and you'll be happy are buying up lots of assets. They're buying up real estate. They're buying up productive land. Central banks and wealthy individuals are loading up on gold and precious metals. They are making sure to own assets that can retain its value and hopefully increase in value. So follow their actions. Two, diversify. Now, this is the same advice I would give you anyways. It generally makes good sense to diversify your assets and financial portfolio. There are a range of possible catalysts and outcomes to shifts in the global financial order. Plus, we never know duration. It could happen in 12 months, 12 years, or 50 years. This means you need to have a diversified, hedged, and resilient portfolio to be prepared for any possible scenario. And finally, do your preparation plan. Now, there is a difference between being a prepper who lives anticipating worst outcomes daily versus being prepared, which means taking the time to make a plan in case the worst outcomes come to pass. It's kind of like your home. You don't anticipate there will be a fire, but in case there is one, having an escape plan and an insurance policy makes sense to put in place before your house is on fire. The same with some of the issues in You Will Own Nothing. Have you visited an estate planning attorney to look into trusts for your assets or gifting to loved ones while alive? If a CBDC were to be implemented, how would you barter and trade if your access to funds were frozen for some period of time? Do you have small denomination precious metals or something else? Think through these things today so you don't panic if they do come to pass, and you can seamlessly address any periods of financial or geopolitical chaos. That's the 5 takeaways, and remember, there is a ton more. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, the elites may want you to own nothing, but I want you to own everything. I hope you will check out the book, empower yourself with knowledge, join the ownership movement, and fight back.
Thank you, Carol. That was Carol Roth with 5 big ideas from You Will Own Nothing: Your War with a New Financial World Order and How to Fight Back. I'm Caleb Bissinger. Thanks for listening.